can find the reading on page 57, and it's Exodus 3, verses 1 to 15. Page 57. Moses and the burning bush. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it didn't burn up. So Moses thought, I'll go over and see this strange sight, why the bush doesn't burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, Here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, I've indeed seen the misery of my people in Israel. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I've seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you, and this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. Moses said to God, Suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, The God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they ask me, What is his name? Then what shall I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, Say to the Israelites, The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name you shall call me from generation to generation.
Well, good morning. My name is David Lockwood. I'm one of the pastors here. And as we've been journeying through this series, I wanted to ask you a question from the start. I wonder, do you feel part of a story this morning? Do you feel part of a story? And I don't mean Goldilocks and the Three Bears. And nor do I mean are you playing a part in Downton Abbey or anything like that. I mean rooted in the sinews and in the joints and in the reality of human history, do you recognize that you are part of something which is bigger than you? From a biblical perspective, we've come to see as we've been going through this series that we are part of what Chris Wright calls, and which I love this little two-word phrase, we are part of this cosmic drama. God, we have heard over the weeks, he's created this universe. He's created this scene, as it were, for us to enjoy his creation, to be in relationship with him, to have this place where the drama is played out. But as Elaine told us on week two of our series, there was a big problem. Something really went wrong. Humanity rebelled. We listen to that lie that we still sometimes fall into today. We still hear it, that actually we could do better without God. And so sin came into the world. The choice was made to go against God, and sin, in all its poisonous forms, crept into this world, into humanity, into the structures of this world, and into our relationship with God. The problem was huge. But as always with God, hope is there. Hope like someone waking up in the middle of the night, knowing that the sun is going to rise. You see, God does not give up on us. He can't. It's who he is. So even today, no matter where you have wandered, I want you to know this truth this morning, that God will not and does not give up on you. He does not give up on humanity, because it is who he is. Paul Cook as well, a few weeks ago, he told us that story, didn't he, of Abraham, and asked that interesting question. Was Abraham a Jew? Then he parked it to one side and focused on the amazing promises that God made to Abraham, that I will bless you and you will be a blessing and the nations will be blessed through you. Think about that, that God himself has chosen, God who has created has chosen to act and say that you will be your offspring, there will be a blessing that comes through you, a blessing to all the nations. In other words, there was a call from God to draw humanity back to himself. Back to this amazing relationship, to come and reconnect, to experience the deep and profound blessing that comes only from God this morning. So we're here as part of this cosmic drama in Exodus. This is where we find ourselves. This great book of Exodus, which is about God who is acting as a redeemer, who is God who is acting for his own self-initiative. God taking those steps. So I want to set the stage a little bit for you where we find ourselves just at this story, because there's been a little bit of a jump between Abraham and where we get to in Exodus. Because after Abraham's promise, his family grew. He had a son, Isaac, a grandson, Jacob, who God changed his name to Israel. And then there was a famine in the land, and the great story of Joseph that opens up at the end of Genesis. Go and reread that story, I encourage you. And the family grew, they settled down in Egypt. And then a few centuries pass. The family gets bigger and bigger and bigger, tribes develop. But they live in this land as aliens. I always like that word, they live as aliens. You sort of picture them going around with green things, but it's funny the English language sometimes. But they live as aliens, as outsiders, people who aren't part of that community. And so, out of fear, they become enslaved. They become trapped and oppressed. And then for a long time, they're oppressed after hundreds and hundreds of years. And then God comes and he acts and his deliverance is beginning to draw near. And we see in this story God's plan at work. Moses is saved and rescued as a Jewish child, and he's saved from Pharaoh's edict. He's drawn out, he's taken out, and actually Pharaoh's daughter ends up rescuing him. And so he's raised in the royal court. But then one day he looks out and he sees, he's shared this identity. He knows that his people are the ones who are being oppressed. And he sees one of his kinsmen and they're being killed by an Egyptian. And so he kills the Egyptian. And all of a sudden people are aware of it. And he thinks, oh no. And he flees. He goes off to the land of Midian, where he's tending sheep. A great place in the wilderness to hide. So if you want to pick up your Bibles, if you want to go to that page 57, where we find ourselves in this cosmic drama, to Exodus chapter 3. And what we find in this place is that Moses is just doing an ordinary thing. He's going about his ordinary life, herding just some ordinary sheep. And there in the midst of his ordinary life, there explodes something that is extraordinary. Something miraculous, something that moves against him, that wakes him up from his ordinary life. It summons him, it addresses him, it draws him close. And from that moment, his life is changed. The Bible speaks of a burning bush, an odd voice that speaks from it. But for Moses, the real issue is not the burning bush. It's what happens when God confronts you. When he confronts Moses and he gives him that large purpose that refuses anything conventional in life. The first thing that happened as we look at verse 6, in this moment of this extraordinary miracle as God is speaking, that God announces himself in a very specific way. I am the God in the book of Genesis. I am the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. I am the God of the ancestral stories. I am the one who came upon those who are wandering around the sojourners. I am the one who gave life where everyone thought it was just closed down, there was nothing there. I am the one who promised. I am the one who gave the promise of a better future. Something which people could not imagine. Something which people could not invent for themselves. And I don't know about you in your life. I don't know whether God has interrupted you recently. I don't know if you can think of a time perhaps where God has just suddenly through the ordinary has come up and just spoken and said, listen, I'm here. I'm calling you to my purposes. I remember last year during the Alpha course, I wrote a few articles in the magazine about it. And we were just talking in the Alpha course and we got on to talking about the things that Jesus was teaching. And then the whole issue of forgiveness came up. And wow, the ears in my heart were just ringing as we were talking, as God was just interrupting in the ordinary of the work, interrupting in the ordinary of the conversation and just saying, listen to these words of forgiveness. Listen to my teaching, drawing me back. Drawing me to something larger. When was the last time God interrupted you? When was the last time you heard? Well, in verses 7 to 9, as we move on, God speaks to Moses not only about old promises and future expectations, but God comes to speak about immediate action, right in the present tense. Look at those verses. I have seen the misery of the people. I have heard the cry. I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them. The God of the Bible takes note of social suffering. God notices, God cares, God acts decisively. Because as we know and as we see, God is our Redeemer. He'll not put up with all the different things, all the dysfunctions of social arrangements. God as Redeemer, he comes to act and to fight on our behalf. And this is a really important thing in the Bible, that we reveal that God shows who he is. Because Redeemer in the English sense, we think it means to buy back. But God here in the Hebrew word of Redeemer, it speaks of something far more powerful. And I want you to hear this. It speaks of God as our champion, God as fighting on our behalf, God who in the family sense goes as a father and rescues his people, rescues his family members. There is something deeply connected in this word, something that where there is social injustice, he fights for it. Where there is something that is an economic situation where someone needs rescue or money, this is what this word means. The Redeemer will fight on that behalf of that person. In this cosmic drama, God, the Redeemer, is profoundly preoccupied and concerned with human suffering. He comes when one brother or sister is able to influence and to lord themselves or establish either social, economic, either spiritual or political leverage over another one. This is the picture that is being painted here. God wants to move in those structures to liberate. Because it's not just about physical rescue. We can't look at the Exodus and just say, well, it's just about the physical rescue. No, it's deeper. It goes more than that. Because the rescue is for a distinct purpose as well. God is who he is. So God must act and liberate. He must transform. Well, as we look at those two different speeches, when we look at verse 6 and we look at verses 7 to 9, we see that Moses is being introduced to some of the big themes of biblical theology, of biblical faith. We see that he is drawn into these promises, to this resolve of liberation. What we see is that we too are a people who are called into these promises. People who are called into these great resolve of liberation. Believing what God has said, believing in what God has done, journeying with Him, challenging, unsettling, going against the status quo. Making the world new. As Walter Brueggemann said, we are a people who celebrate God's resolve for liberation. Knowing that God wants us to be liberated selves in a liberated creation. God wants us to be liberated selves in a liberated creation. In other words, He wants to rescue this morning. Well, as we think about this passage, as we keep going through, after the promises that Moses has, he's heard them announced, and something very strange happens in this dialogue in Exodus 3. God has uttered a lot of things in the first person, a lot of pronouns. Look at the text. God takes the initiative. He has seen. I know, I've come down to deliver, I've seen the oppression. And God, is, as we've said, is really deeply concerned about this crisis. And you can imagine Moses, upon hearing this speech, thinking, wow, this is some God. Look at all this stuff that he's doing. I mean, how impressive. He's going to come down and rescue. He's seen the oppression. He's going to do something about it. And then in verse 11, a surprising turn in the rhetoric, that this same God who is uttering all these I statements, I will, I will, I will. In verse 11 he says, so come, I will send you. I will send you not just to anywhere, but I will send you to Pharaoh to bring my people out of Egypt. I will, I will, I will. So you go. And amongst all these different things and this amazing turn of rhetoric, what is happening here is that actually Moses is being invited into doing some dangerous human work. God is, I guess, interrupting in a big way, because he's saying, you know what, you be the liberator. You go to Pharaoh. You go over to that big house with the guards and where all the soldiers are. You go to where all the armies are and in the city. You go. You go and confront the oppressive powers. You go and challenge the system. You go and front up to the gods as my representative. You, you, you. Often when we look at the Bible, we see that God works like this. We see that God interrupts people's lives and explores and explains his purpose. And we can't lose sight of the fact that God still does what God does. God does the hard work. God does the nitty-gritty stuff. God promises to be with us. But constantly in the call of people's lives, there is that invitation to come and be part of these purposes. Come and to liberate. Come and to express my love for people. Come and exercise my promises. Come and invite people in. Come and stand in defiance of the pharaohs of this world, of the structures and the oppressive things that we see. And be my voice. Be my power at work in this world. Now, I assume in all this that you, like Moses, like me, live an ordinary life. We do ordinary work, and we tend ordinary sheep. Well, some people call them kids, some people call them colleagues, some people call them pets. But nonetheless, it does happen that the power of God does explode, does come in people's lives, does come in our midst, and sometimes we get pushed out of the ordinary. We get pushed out beyond our comfortable circumstances, the things that we know and like. But it is, of course, possible to walk past the burning bush, as though God's intrusion was, it's just nothing. Because if we're honest, most of us aren't really that inclined to go out on a limb to do something different. We don't tend to go that far beyond what we know is comfortable. But it does happen here and there. It does happen that people make that small choice to dare to challenge and to do something different, to be a liberator. One of the most fantastic stories I've heard from someone who became a Christian through Alpha. And I went to a leadership conference and this guy gave his testimony. And he was telling the story as a former enforcer, as someone who was a major drug dealer in Leeds. He said he was the sort of person that even if you just were to look at him the wrong way, he would thump someone. And this guy came up to him in prison who'd become a Christian, and he had his little notice board, and he wanted to sign people up for Alpha, and he came up to this guy, and he said, "Do you want to sign that to Alpha course?" He goes, "What's it about? It's about Christianity. Go away before I slap you. And if I see you again, I will slap you." Do you know what happened the week after? The same guy with the same notice board, with his little checkup thing, came up to this guy. And he may have said it very quickly, but he still took that courage to challenge the powers of where he was, to be a liberator and to invite something in because God had interrupted him. And he ran up with his notice board and said, "Do you want to sign up?" And as the hand went up, he said, "You get free tea and biscuits." Someone's life dramatically turned around in that moment. Just because one person did one simple thing and went out on a limb. Today, we live in the light of Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, our Champion, the one who does and who has done whatever it takes to rescue His people. He surrendered His life on the cross. He gave everything for us so that we could be free, giving victory to God over everything, not just the sin in our lives, but over everything in the creation, in this cosmic drama that seeks to enslave. I believe the reason we need to think about this story and about its unsettling invitation that draws us in, I believe we need to think about it because we live in a society at the moment that is in deep crisis. It has become clear since the financial crash that most of our old patterns of life, the old ways of working, they don't work. We live in such a unique time, and I think our challenge is this as I think about it, that now is the time when the church gathers together, gathers its faith together, in order to think and pray and to look at acting differently. Differently, but like God in how we liberate this world. We take that picture from Exodus. We look at God who challenges the political, the social, the spiritual, the economic structures and goes in and rescues them. Goes in to show a different way to take off and cast off the shackles of sin and its effects. To liberate this world through Christ so that we could be a blessing. This is our call to show that different way. And that may mean this morning, as we think about ideas, as we think about, well, what does that look like in practice? Well, it may be organizing a gift fair like a group of Christians who've been working on a local estate in North London. They look at the people they're working with and said, well, what does liberation mean for these? What is good news for these people? They know that we're Christians. And so they get together and they buy loads of brand new toys. They ask other people to donate perhaps past toys that they don't have, and they invite the community in and say, actually, don't put yourself in debt this Christmas. Come in. Come and choose some good things for your family. Come and hear the blessing of God that wants to be a blessing to you. Or maybe it's something different. Maybe it's more of a political motivation. Maybe it's getting people together and challenging the government, challenging the right-wing press that labels everyone who is on benefit a scrounger. Perhaps it's something smaller, but yet still significant. Perhaps it's changing our attitude, changing what we are voicing, so that we voice liberation, so that we aren't being oppressive in our attitude on the school gate, adding fuel to that label of scroungers, those parasites, those people on benefits. Instead, we liberate in a different way and say, actually, no, God sees it differently. I'm a Christian, I see it differently. We are redeemed people. God has fought on our behalf, liberated us through the cross of Christ. But it doesn't stop there, because God has said, I will. And in a sense, when we look back, we say, he has. But he says to us, now go. Live like people who have been set free. Take the power of Christ who disarmed all the evil powers on the cross. Go and challenge. Go and confront. Go and be courageous. Go and think outside the box. Go and dare to just add that little bit outside the comfort zone. To be a blessing and bring a blessing. Maybe that's through your home groups. Maybe that's through those of you who are working with seniors. Maybe that's at the workplace. Jesus, and I want to finish with these words, stood up at the synagogue and said, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." I will. Now you go. Let's bow our heads and pray.